I lack a warmth. Is that true, MVP?
Definitely.
Same
yeah.
for you, you stink.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program, where here in Studio 66, we are ready to roll. We have a royal wedding to review, pro football to talk, and, of course, we never take our eyes off of the most important game of all, the game of life. Seated to my immediate left, here he is all the way from London, England. Last we heard his voice, he was talking from Toronto, Canada, a.k.a. one of the Queen Mum's most successful colonies. He is also our resident Miami Dolphins fan. No doubt delighted to see that number 17, Aqua, as he says, run out onto the practice field. Today, it's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
It smells fantastic in here. Which one of you, the other guest?
I give credit where it's due. Thank you for noticing that, handsome. And, you know, Willie McGinnis taught me that trick. He told me that a few years ago, you know, Cleveland Browns, USC legend, Willie McGinnis. Said before, you know, it's a nice thing to do. It's nice to your coworkers right when you go out on stage. Put a little scent on yourself.
What are you wearing?
They'll appreciate it.
Willie's cologne. Did you steal it?
Right. Well, he told me to start wearing cologne.
Hit his locker.
He just went in there and said, Willie, I think, yeah.
So I adopted this.
So what is it?
The reviews have been gangbusters.
What are you wearing?
Is it Willie cologne, in fact?
Very good.
Why doesn't Willie Colon, the great old offensive lineman, have a scent?
Yeah.
And when you just look at him, especially as he's walking off the gridiron, right. You think like,
that's what you want to capture.
Yes. Can we get that essence in a bottle?
Yep.
When's the last time you wore cologne, Hank?
I was probably 15, and I was on the pull.
I'm pretty much right there with
you. You know what? I know you want to laugh, Money.
No, I'm being sincere because I actually have a follow-up to that.
Okay, I think it is. For several decades, I remember when I went to college, I was compelled by some foolish people who, for about like 3 days, somebody said, here, you know what is good? You know, you're grown up now. That's what you're thinking like a kid. You want to win the ladies, need a little scent here. I was sprayed with a little Dracar Noir.
There you go. See, that's.
And I thought, this is nice. And then after a couple of days, I was like, I'm starting to get nauseated by this. And I cut it out.
So Dracar Noir, hold on.
Right.
What was the high school scent?
I think it was a Calvin Klein number.
Was it Obsession? Was it Eternity?
Eternity.
See, that's good. We each have one. Yeah. I had Cool Water.
That's a unisex one, though, right? Isn't that the one that smells like you imagine turquoise?
Cool water smelling, yeah.
No, it smells like if turquoise had a scent, it would be that.
Mine
was Cool Water in college was the last time. When I was in high school now, I had a girlfriend buy me Liz Claiborne for Men. So if the girlfriend buys it for you,
you're going to wear it.
It's what she wants me to smell like, so here we go. But, yeah, since college, I have not done a lick of cologne.
I'll tell you, fellas, don't be too cool for school. My observation – I always say this about clothing in general.
You say something about clothing?
I have opinions on clothing.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
that's interesting.
Yes, I do, Mr. EGA.
I know what Dave's biggest opinion on clothing is.
Is what?
Don't iron it. Whatever you do, make sure nothing hot and a thing that irons things goes
terrific.
Anywhere near
I'll
it.
Tell you what. You know what? Everybody's an MVP, handsome, and Money, all getting laughs at scoring off Damaschek. Congratulations.
And yet there's no people you'd rather spend the next hour
That's
with.
Right.
All right, let's keep talking. Oh, you know what? Let's say hello. I do want to hear about the royal wedding. You hear his voice already. He's half of the greatest radio show in all the land. Check it out, won't you, at your earliest convenience. iHeartRadio is how you do that. Or if you're lucky enough to be in beautiful and sunny Los Angeles, check it out on AM 570. He also is the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers, who, by the way, we're getting together with later this week, not one.
But?
Both Melvins. Ingram
what?
And Gordon.
That's a big one.
We're getting together. We're kibitzing. I don't know exactly if we're going to release that show just for scheduling notes if you're trying to lay out your summer plans. I'm not ready yet to say exactly when we're going to have that one for you. But, yes, we are getting together to do something special with the two Melvins, something that they both have sat with us in this very studio and told us they want to make happen for their own lives. You know, they think that they have something special cooked up, and we're here to help them along with that. So anyway, we'll do that. Also, DeMarcus Lawrence, a.k.a. Tank Lawrence, we sat down with him in a Dallas steakhouse recently. We're going to have that full conversation with you, with him for you. Great stuff with him on Romo and Dak and Zeke and that whole defense and Rod Marinelli, so on and so forth. In the meantime, back to those Chargers and the voice of those Chargers, that's Matt Money Smith. I'm letting it roll.
Is that kind of day?
It's
been a while.
The offseason.
Matt Money Smith. I mean, Dick Banks worked hard.
He's a Chicago guy. And
oh,
have you heard he's the Chargers play by play guy?
There we go. Double time.
Skateboarded as a kid. Matt Money. He's on with damn shit. Matt Money. It's Matt Money Smith.
All right.
Spaghetti is out today. Sully in his chair, rocking out behind the glass there. MVP.
Okay.
I was
physically and
yeah.
figuratively unmoved, but Sully liked it.
Yeah. She's heard it many
times.
It's
always a good tune.
Yeah, that's why.
I think Emma thinks it's a little too long. I think Emma wants it to be about 10 seconds shorter.
You're on to something.
I think it needs to be 10 seconds longer.
Okay.
More of it.
I'll let you two duke that
out.
Either way, the one-man house band Dick Banks does
well
it again
done.
There.
Yes.
Hey, you just caught up with some of those Chargers. What's the vibe around there? A lot of buzz money about these Chargers. Who recently declared that? Was it Elway?
Elway
just said, the team to beat, the Chargers. We kibitzed about that very thing about a week or two ago here in Studio 66.
And that got a crack out of Anthony Lynn. His former teammate, of course, was a fullback on those back-to-back Bronco championship teams. And
Not for Sammy Winder. That was post Sammy Winder.
For the craziest running back
to ever start a season.
They want none of it. I think Anthony Lynn had the perfect response, which is, hey man, this team has not beat the Chiefs in like 5 years. So that's week one. Let's get that out of the way and figure out if that's a team that we can figure out. And once that maybe gets done, then we can start talking about winning this division. In the meantime, it's been their division, and that team, for whatever reason, has been the Chargers kryptonite. So they gotta solve that riddle week one.
All right, we have a lot of things to talk about with regards to the game of life. I do want to say, though, as we're talking, we are on NFL ground here. So let's kibitz about pro football for a moment, shall we? With the OTAs and everything going on, some people not showing up, the jaws are on the floor across Football America. How dare these guys? I will say. We'll talk about Brady and the Patriots in a second here. But two things that recent epiphanies that I've had. One, I it's easy when you're at the draft to get seduced by, and also when you're following free agency, to find who's bad. You feel like, every team's going to be good. There's a story that emerges from the draft that you feel like, with a couple of exceptions, that team might be good. But, you know, me, my glass is always half full. So after we talked about the Chargers and how they might run away with the division, I suddenly have come around on this. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to be good. They're going to be better than they were last year. Money.
I
mean, 21st century. When you,
I don't know about
he's
that.
Actually had a he's
their
had
offense,
a season under his
offense,
belt.
Their
the
offense,
offense
yeah.
maybe at
the
least
defense,
will be better.
The defense
I don't know,
is
man.
In trouble.
He's got one start in a division with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. I mean, to have a quarterback that has had one start in his career against those defensive – I mean, that's the thing about this division is you can talk about offenses and quarterbacks and Derek Carr and Phillip Rivers. It's the defensive lines that are absolutely terrifying. And then when you pair those with the secondary, like when you have that Chargers front with that secondary of Casey Hayward, maybe Jason Verrett is now back, like that's just the one – thing I'd be worried about with Mahomes. It's not just that he doesn't have the experience, it's what he's got to go against on those fronts or those pass rushers in
the
division.
So are the Chiefs now lined up to be the worst defense in that division?
I mean,
because if that's true, then the Chiefs can only go so high. But I do think that a young guy, the one virtue that they have, and I'm not just talking about fantasy football, but obviously people steer away from this year after year to their own demise. But, you know, Deshaun Watson most recently reminded you, if you have a young QB, they run around too, and they score touchdowns with their legs too. But that also benefits the actual pro football
team. I think the Raiders are still the worst defense. Even with Khalil Mack, the fact that, I mean, I think they're going to end up having seven new starters or something like that. You know, I mean, Bruce Irvin's okay opposite Khalil Mack, but they're secondary. They're still kind of banking a lot on young players and health being right. You know, at least the Chiefs, they're going to get Eric Berry back. You know, they got Fuller in the trade with Alex Smith, so that's a legitimate corner. Justin Houston's still a great pass rusher. I mean, that's still D Ford. You still have some talent there. Yeah. So I think the Raiders probably still the worst defense in the division.
The one who decided to rain on my parade for the Chiefs that I was trying.
I'm going to try and rein back on it. The one thing I'd say about both those guys is that Houston and Berry both need to stay healthy. I mean, they haven't stayed healthy for the last couple of years, so we do need to have them for the full season.
But, I mean, also, Patrick Mahomes, everybody knows, who's paid attention for 2 minutes. Mahomes, actually, Money and I had a good thing with him at the Super Bowl. We had him determine which pastry hurts the most to get hit by when Patrick Mahomes throws his fastball at it. My belly took the muffin.
I remember saying, I mean, no better place for it to be thrown.
Money wanted it to be a scone. Well, that could have ended my life
if it had
been
the
scone.
When I saw him throw the muffin, I was like, how about I take a croissant instead? Instead of the muffin versus scone debate, let's just have a muffin versus croissant debate, because I'm not going to do the scone after seeing and hearing just the thump. It's for those that maybe that play golf. I remember back in the day when you would the coaches would have these giant bags of foam that you were supposed to swing the club into, and it would tell you whether or not your face was square at impact, and it just made this thump. That's what came into my mind when that muffin hit your belly.
Well, and the whole time, our pal and talent booker here, David Singer, is pulling at Mahomes. Like, he's got to go, guys. He's got to go. And we said, Singer.
That's Singer's M.O., though.
Stop,
really
Singer,
like,
please.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Please.
Singer,
he's throwing.
Delivers someone, they have to leave immediately.
He's injuring us with muffins.
This
please.
Is too good. Keep it going. And then both of us had a little, we kind of reconvened after our segment. And Dave goes, you know, I am. It really hurt. And I said, yeah, you got hit with a muffin. I said, more embarrassing is that he hit me with a croissant, and it actually kind of hurts. I got a little bit of pain right here under my my left nipple here.
It left
right
a red
nipple.
Mark.
Yeah.
It left a red mark on my just above my navel.
I can throw.
Fortunately, my fur.
Does that make you like Pat Mahomes more or less?
I like it.
Much
that,
more.
That he was willing to.
Yes,
willing to
much more. Especially because he had a handler that was a little shaky on it, and he just kind of looked at me. He's like, what the hell? Let's do it.
Money,
like, there we go. I like this Pat
Mahomes.
What
would be your emotion? What would be – describe your chief emotion if Patrick Mahomes, in throwing one of those pastries, blows his elbow out? That?
You remember when you were a kid and you're playing baseball and someone broke a window or hit a car and you just kind of look for your bike and you just hop on it and you pedal away? That would be exactly.
Oh, my God. Patrick Mahomes blew his elbow out, Money. Money? Where did
gone.
He go?
We got to do a show here in 10 minutes. I don't know what happened to him. Just gone. Straight to the airport.
Here's the other one. And I'm not just saying this. The other one that I thought, you know, all of a sudden I was able to ignore what we saw in 2017. All of a sudden, I was reminded, Adam Gase loved Ryan Tannehill. Maybe they'll be good, handsome.
Ryan Tannehill went 8-1 in his last
nine games. Why can't they be good?
Why
so he
can't
had a
they
year
be good?
Away.
I said the same thing.
They were. I mean, Adam Gase, I know every head coach pumps up at this time of the year in August, and we really are excited about this guy, but there was reason to be excited about
him.
Who knows what happens at the end of 2016 when they get to the playoffs?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Matt Moore, who knows what happens if Ryan Tannehill had been the QB
right.
then?
Remember that hit against the Steelers where Matt Moore effectively got buried? Alive.
That was one of those
that
ones where
one
I thought
one where like,
this,
oh,
might,
no,
this might be
might,
bad. This might be worse really than bad. When like, I cut, got hit by a pastry by Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, let's cut to
that's
5 minutes
talk.
Worth of ads.
That's crazy talk.
Nothing, what, the Dolphins?
Nothing's worse than you getting hit with a pastry. I mean, that was real pain.
What about the Dolphins, handsome?
No,
do you
I
feel
do think.
Enthusiastic?
I mean, Tannehill was 8-1 in his last few games. He played, there was actually a game against the Chargers. It was right at the end of that 16 season, probably 2 weeks before he got injured against the Cardinals, where he had, I think, the best game of his career. I was there in San Diego. I think he threw four touchdowns. They had a great sort of come from behind win. And he looked like he got it in Gase's offense. There was no, so that season they went 1-3 to start the season in September. No surprise, brand new offense, brand new head coach, and then they clicked and everything went. And yeah, they didn't have a tough schedule, but I think that Ryan Tannehill is someone who people have kind of forgotten about, and everyone has reverted to what they thought
that
of him
he's
in
bad,
like 2014, 2015, where he was figuring it out under, you know, with a terrible head coach and a sort of coaching staff with that was clearly on the way out. And I think he was pretty good in that.
They had a horrible offseason. I mean, just a horrible offseason.
I don't know if it was as horrible as everyone thinks just because they lost a bunch of big names.
I know it's easy to be
but
that.
But did they replace
Sue
those
and
names
Jarvis
with?
Landry are
and Mike
appear
Pouncey.
To be.
Pouncey, well, I mean, I know
he hadn't
been
healthy.
I know you're paid by the Chargers, but Pouncey spent a lot of time,
yes.
Or Cutler spent a lot of time running away from pressure that came directly from in front of Mike Pouncey. And Mike Pouncey was not able to practice all season. He showed up on game day, and he was not. Mike Pouncey was a great player for a couple years, but his back and hips and.
So no Jarvis Landry.
No Jarvis Landry.
No Ndamukong Suh.
Sue was a
who
highly
the,
paid player.
Bring me up. Tell me again. Who are the who have they replaced him with? Give me the full pass catching weapons out
so
there.
So they
now.
Have a guy who I think was every time you watch a Chiefs game, Albert Wilson was a guy that was making plays for the
I
Chiefs.
I think they spent a little bit too.
They
much
may have
on
spent
Albert
a little
Wilson.
Bit too much on that. They spent a little bit too much on Danny Amendola at the stage of his career. That. They have Kenny Stills who was Why? Good from the slot.
He'll show up
they
for
have,
like 2 weeks.
They
and
have
then
Devontae Parker who
I like Devontae
flashes. But has never actually put it together, but did during that 8-game stretch with Tannehill as his quarterback.
What about Leonte Carew? One of the most enjoyable names to say.
Leonte Carew. And they have Mike Gesicki at tight end. They finally have a pass catching. Okay.
Maybe it's not that. Maybe I should reel in the optimism. But the point is to perpetuate. This is the time
of
year to feel excited.
Yeah, don't shoot me down now.
Come autumn, grim reality.
Week five. I'll.
You know what?
I'm getting stuff. I'm getting trash talk from Browns fans. What are you doing? You've won one game in two calendar years.
I just figured it out. Mm-hmm. I just figured out what that was.
What?
It's the digit. Remember, Tannehill was one who absolutely was not going to be the starter. They were going to draft Josh Rosen. This was going to be one of his 10.
So
now he's trying to make up for that by saying, how about that Ryan Tannehill, Hank? How about let's celebrate this
so
guy that's going to be
that
your
when
starter.
When
he
I'm
might be pretty
those,
good.
When I'm using those blunt scissors, I may take it easy on him.
Nope. Exactly right. You may cut it off right up here.
Right. No.
Instead of right
we're
in the middle
to,
of the knuckle
to,
there.
Yeah, well, no,
you're going all the way down.
We're going to the roots.
Oh, my goodness.
Cut that thing
diabolical.
Out. I don't know why change. You think it's a little finger as well, man. Why would we take a little finger when we could take a big
I'm taking the thumb.
I can change between now and September. Crack wise while you can. Because I don't know that Lamar Jackson.
You need at least two things to change.
Lamar Jackson. And hey, you know what? I'll tell you another one. I don't think it's going to happen, but either way, people can say whatever they want. It's a mess in Foxborough. I mean, that was bad. That's right. You don't think so? You don't buy that? There's no problem up there.
It is a mess in Foxborough at the moment, but there is no solution other than them
Tom Brady's
doing whatever
playing football.
They need to do to get Tom Brady back in the building. It's not like they have Jimmy Garoppolo and they're like, all right, Tom, you want to play a game? Let's play a game.
What's
the solution?
We've all spoken with people who are tied into the building and everything, and I don't think that there's this ongoing there's at least been a decent rapport between the two figureheads of this dynasty for the vast majority of it. I don't know. What happens now?
He's going to play football. And July, it's the only place he can play football.
Right, July and August roll around.
I didn't
exactly
say he's not going to do it. But who did more damage to his franchise over the last few months? Tom
What's
Brady
this got
to
do
the
with
Baker?
The health of your fingers, Dave?
All right. I'm just telling you, Ben Roethlisberger, for all the scorn that he received because he said some snarky things about the kid that they drafted and Mason Rudolph, who's done actual more damage? Tom Brady, who forced Garoppolo out of town, leaving them with Brian Hoyer now? That's what they have when 12 goes away?
Here's all you need to remember. When it comes time to get that digit snipped, you better pick me and not him.
All right, handsome. Let's talk now about the royal wedding. I wanted to get your thoughts of it because it's closest to you.
Well, I mean, I have a confession to make. So last week I...
Don't tell me you didn't watch it. I'll be outraged.
Last week I sent a tweet without thinking about... Then I suddenly found myself on the show and had to preview the royal wedding knowing almost nothing about it.
You did a great job, though.
Oh, thank you. And then I didn't watch it. And I've obviously seen some pictures on TV.
You don't like the pageantry of your own land?
It's at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't like the pageantry of anyone's land at that time of day.
Not a lick of it?
I haven't watched any of the video footage of this thing. I've seen some pictures on social media. I'm thrilled. I think they had a good time.
How many James Bonds were there? Because I saw...
That's an interesting
question. I saw Tom Hardy there.
Roger Moore didn't make it.
No, he didn't. Yeah. Was Connery in attendance?
I don't know.
Was Craig?
I don't know.
Dalton?
Idris Elba was there, and he's always been speculated to be the next Bond.
Hardy?
Yeah, I saw
was
Hardy
he there,
there
as well?
Yeah, is Hardy definitely
watching.
The
Have
next
you
Bond?
Watch? No.
No, okay. I don't think he would.
I think the next Bond is the guy in McMafia. I don't know what his name is, but if you've watched McMafia.
McMafia. I've not seen it.
It's on AMC. It's very good.
Okay. I like the Idris Elba idea. I'm into that.
I like the Elba idea, too.
Although now he's a little too old, right? A little too long in the tooth to do it. I don't know. He seems like he's a little old. What do I know?
Pierce Brosnan didn't seem to care about that.
That's true. I do think all the pushback for Elba, though, is kind of... It kind of reminds me of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and everybody like, why doesn't he have a statue? He needs a statue. And then Kareem comes out. It's like, hey, man, why don't I have a statue? And when the statue came, it's like, I guess you got your statue. Congratulations, bud. You know, I'm afraid I'd feel that way with Elba. Right. Like, well, here he is. We got him. Way to go.
Next question. Now that we're on the subject of movies, let's get to Sully's prize question here that he has so thoughtfully listed for us. Solo, a Star Wars movie, comes out this weekend. Which iconic movie character do you wish had his own spinoff or her spinoff? I'm going to start with you, Money. You look ready to go.
I'm excited. I did my show prep. I thought about this long and hard last night, and I came up
what?
With...
What?
I did.
Was this available for review last night?
I set out the rundown last night. Yeah.
I didn't do that.
The host.
I'm looking at it now, though. I'm reading it.
I came up with two. Both ends of the spectrum. One comedy, one drama.
Ooh.
Which one you want first?
Comedy.
Comedy. I want Big... and Lil Enos Burdett from Smokey and the Bandit. The guys that approach Bandit and have the 40 grand to get the Coors sent to their stock car race because that's the finest beer in America. They're going to – I want to know what are they into? What kind of business are they in? What other shady dealings are they doing? What is this stock car race? I mean, there are so many different storylines you could have surrounding two guys, Paul Williams and I can't remember Big Enos's actor. And what they do in their lives. So that's the comedy one I want.
Excellent.
The other one I want Fredo.
Oh.
And Mo Green.
What happens in Vegas.
Like, what is that setup? How does Mo Green get involved? How much of a screw-up is Fredo and all the crap that Michael's got to keep getting him out of?
That's good.
You know, those would be the two that I would really want.
I love those.
I like that.
Handsome, do you have anything?
I have a couple. Both related to my favorite actor of all time, and one we've discussed a little bit before. First of all, Iceman. I want to know what happens to Iceman after, you know, he puts this childish idiot Maverick aside and wins the Top Gun trophy. So that was one.
Fair.
And then also played by Kilmer, the way that he played Doc Holliday, although obviously Holliday's story is well told. Doc Holliday, Kilmer's. Like how he got into the state that he was in.
Give me that storyline, not the herbs. Great. Brilliant.
Those are really good ones.
Do we start with him as a dentist? Is he in dental school
Everything's well. You know, he gives the patient some opium and one for himself as well.
Yeah, one for you, two for me.
Exactly.
All right. Well, now you got my head spinning here. What I was going to say.
Well, you should have done some show prep last night.
Well, I just did. I was writing it down.
That's basically your job.
All right. Well, listen, I didn't know what was coming here. So, all right. Now I'm ready to go. This is a more down the middle one, but I like this idea. You know, 21st century TV has broken out as superior to movies. I think most people now have made that remark at some point. And it's owed to the fact that they started to focus on these not just damaged but downright villainous leads, you know, from Tony Soprano to Don Draper to Walter White and beyond. The most iconic characters, the best characters in the entire shows that revolve around them, they're bad guys.
Okay.
And you're trying to reason with the and you still find yourself rooting for them.
Antiheroes.
Right. Why? And then if you look at movies back, I don't even know when they were making those Dracula and Frankenstein and all those movies. Those were obviously the bad guys, but the movies were about them. Why not movies about the bad guy? Superhero movies are all the rage. Don't you want to see movies about the bad guy? Wouldn't you love to see their origin stories? The Joker's a little down the middle, but you know what I'm getting at. Wouldn't that be nice to see full features around that, where it's positioned that maybe the hero comes in and out of the picture, but you don't mind? You know who kind of did that in a legitimate way? His movies are overrated generally, but Clint Eastwood made both sides of the Iwo Jima battle. And I think that's a pretty fascinating thing to do, to engage in. What was the movie?
So who's the villain? Like, give us the villain that
you
want to see.
Like I say, the Joker.
Is it
Lex
Harvey
Luther.
Dent? Is it?
Because I feel like some of those, they do get into the Lex Luthor. Maybe.
You see some of
right.
it. I'm saying
it,
flip the balance.
Maybe him justifying like why he's trying to do what he's doing.
Also, Money Said Comedy. I hadn't considered that. I'd love to see the story. We're never going to get it now, but Judge Smales. Wouldn't you love to see what Judge Smales is like in court, a courtroom show around Judge Smales? That's Caddyshack MVP.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Handsome.
Like Smales, who's in, is it Yale, in Skull and Bones? Like that kind of stuff.
His origin story.
Right, his origin
story. Speaking of origin stories, why? I mean, all we know is it just celebrated an anniversary. I forget how long ago. It made me feel sad. We lost, of course, the great Swayze a number of years ago. But what about his idol? What about Wade Garrett's origin story? Anytime anybody says to Dalton, oh, he's the best cooler in the business, Dalton demurs. No.
Good call.
The greatest is Wade Garrett. He's the best cooler in the business. By the time we meet him, he's long in the tooth. His ponytailed hair has gone salt and pepper, and there's a lot more salt in it than pepper. Yes, Sully, you had something to say.
Yeah, I got a couple of them. I would say.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Yeah,
good.
I got a couple of them. I did my homework.
What happened here? Didn't know that this was going. Okay, yeah, Sully,
okay.
Go ahead there.
Yeah, thanks. Booth. Appreciate that. So I would go with.
Ooh, wait,
TV
I got another
idea.
One. I got
what
another
got,
one.
What got,
oh,
what
Jesus,
what
Shaq.
I'd love to hear the story in Hoosiers or any sport. I want to hear Sully's. What are the. But any sports movie where they tell the story of the underdog side, what about the story of the team that they're like? What about the South Bend team?
So
that
like Cobra Kai, the new series on.
Oh
YouTube.
Yeah, what am I there? Yeah, oh yeah. I feel like there I just go. Stumbled. I'm like, I just do 5 minutes on. See what they need to focus on more is the villain side. Yeah, there's a hit show, Dave, called Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Good point.
So TV show, I want to see Coach Taylor. Coach a college football team. That'd be awesome for Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
I thought you were talking. I really thought you were talking about Coach, the sitcom.
No. Coach Taylor.
With Craig T.
From Friday Night Lights. Wanted to see him.
Dauber.
How about
Dauber's origin story?
Wasn't
huh?
that whole show really about him anyway?
It was.
Yeah, it was, but I want to see more of him.
You just want
but that's like
he was to come
yeah.
back on
I want
to
see, well, but I want to, see, but he,
spin-off.
But
that's
he never
show.
Achieved his lifelong
yeah, but
goal.
But he's the centerpiece. It's not he's a solo. You know, was show. Second he's Luke Skywalker.
He never achieved his lifelong goal.
You know, Fredo
goal,
wasn't Michael. I mean, Lil Big Enos. They weren't the band.
It's weird that Sully. Would
I mean, write coach
this,
is coach. It's Friday Night Lights.
Not fully understand.
That's terrible, Sully. What else you got?
I wouldn't even ask him.
And if we're telling the origin story, if we're hearing about Creed, by the way, when I heard
Rocky?
There was a movie.
How about that Rocky? I want to hear more about that guy.
Do you not, why
you
do
like
you
that one, Sully? Like more about Rocky?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
Okay. What else you got? Anyway, this should be good.
White Goodman from Dodgeball. I feel like that's one of the more underrated characters in comedy
Is that
history.
Rip Torn?
No, that's
It'd be better if it was Rip Torn.
No. White Goodman, W-H-I-T-E, White Goodman. What do you mean it's not going well? I love that movie. White Goodman, one of the best villains, going off, piggybacking off of you.
I thought when they said, when I heard Creed was coming out.
I'd go with Rip Torn, personally.
When they said Creed was coming out, my heart soared. Because, of course, I thought they're telling the origin story of Apollo Creed. And, I mean, I know the movie was good. Yep. I liked it. So did everybody else. But would have been better if it had been about Apollo Creed. I don't know. I don't care about what his son. Tell me about
those
how
movies
Creed
are awesome.
Right.
Became the Count of Monte Cristo. Tell me his story about his prime.
That's a terrible take. Those movies are awesome.
Speaking of Rip Torn.
this one's over here telling me about what's a terrible take.
What do you mean? I have two great takes.
No, those are
and
terrible.
I have a third one, too.
I honestly no, don't. I genuinely
yeah, I do.
Guys see, Emma
did you guys
might
actually, they're actually
the
probably
show.
Going to come out with it, so I don't
did
even
you see
know my
that
third guy,
did you guys see that movie, Nixon? They should make them. I'd like for them to spin off a story about Richard Nixon.
Ooh.
What about if they
yeah, yeah, he was a bit part in that.
What about Aragorn from Lord of the Rings?
Huh?
What?
Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. You guys aren't Lord of the Rings fans?
Not Aragorn. Is that the fairy or is that the warlock?
Oh.
No. That's the ranger.
No one wins this one now.
What do you mean no one wins this one? Because it's awesome. They're actually going to come out with that. That's the rumor that Amazon is spending like $1 billion.
You know what? You know what? I think you can make a case. I'm maybe Reagan. Yes. He is sort of equivalent to Solo. Okay, that's not bad. I'll sign off
like
on
what,
that.
Like, what does he do outside of?
Well, we see a fair amount.
Right,
of
but
his.
He comes in. We as don't a, know as a how flaming he, badass in Lord of the Rings.
Like, we don't know
like, he's
how
he's got
to
have a million adventures before.
Right, his tutor is basically what you'd like to see.
Right.
How about we see the story of one of those tutors? You know, they're always the ones who are always teaching you how the high end karate or whatever discipline the hero uses to go and take out the bad guys. What about the rise of that?
Now I'm thinking about. Sensei. My tutor on the movie channel back in the day on cable.
Who was her tutor?
How about that, huh?
All right.
All right.
That it, Sully?
I had fun. I
Emma
had fun.
I enjoyed it too, Sully.
How about
that
Emma?
Was a good idea.
Emma, you got anything?
You got one?
I'm going to go with Regina George from Mean Girls.
I knew it was going to be. I could have written that down.
How
and
did she
it.
Get so mean, you guys? Right?
Who
like
bullied
it.
Her?
Like
Who
bullied.
Was the bully that tutored
Regina.
Her in bullying?
There it is.
That's what happens, right? That's
I just want more Mean Girls.
Who is the Yoda of bullying? Hmm? The tutor of bullying, Yoda, who taught her to bully.
I thought we were talking about Mean Girls.
We are talking about Mean Girls.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Who was her Yoda?
You know what I'd like? You know what I'd like back now to this? If that's going to be a thing in the copycat world of entertainment, that if all Cobra Kai's well, where else can we apply this same situation, mm-hmm. I'd like to hear about the Alpha Betas. I'd like to see Stan Ooh. Gable from Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, like this is people always make their jokes about how Johnny is really the true hero, Karate Kid. I've said that many times about Stan Gable. Think about what he achieves. He's the best looking guy on campus, not just on that campus, but any campus in all of America. He's also a Heisman candidate. He's the star quarterback, All-American. They talk all about the Adams. This is the best team in the land. You got to get ready. They have the hard-ass coach and John Goodman. And then when they go out for practice one day, there are 18 guys on the team. How are they competing with USC and Notre Dame and Florida State? They only have 18 players on their team.
You got quite a few that play both ways.
And is that enough? Is that where they stop? Do they just say, hey, we rule football? And that's, you know what, we're happy about that. And I'm a handsome devil. And I have this attractive girlfriend and so on. Is that enough? No, I want the whole world. I want that house. Get out, nerds. I'm gonna make time to torment and bully these nerds. I want to hear about Stan Gable.
Well, we got a writer on staff. I mean, we can just
Emma, it.
Emma. Let's put Emma to work. Emma, write all those down. All right.
Yeah, you got it.
Done.
And
She's
while you're at
do
it,
that after our,
make sure
our,
you start the list with the Friday Night Lights coach. That's one that's really got to get
we're gonna
done.
We're gonna do Billy Madison the musical is our actual plan. We went, but. Then she can work on that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think she's going to have to work on editing the last 20 minutes.
Damn right she is.
Before she
boy,
gets to
boy.
Any of that.
I thought
scissors.
It was good. What are you talking about? That was good.
Scissors.
At number three on the outline here, is the Las Vegas Golden Knights story heartwarming, or should fans have to suffer before achieving glory a little bit? Handsome, I start with you.
I think you should have to suffer.
I agree.
I think that's
and
the right to passage
let me just say,
for any fan and any team. And if you get, like, some limited success.
Let me just say this. Disclaimer
sorry,
for
you asked a question.
I'm sorry. Because I have to give a disclaimer because I tweeted something about my opinion and then people got angry with me. They got on Mount Pius because of what happened in Vegas 9 days before the shooting, that this was good for the city. I said, all right, I'm not evaluating it on that real life level. I'm talking about it from a sports fan's perspective. I just feel like because I don't want to get those tweets, obviously. Now continue. Okay. I'm sorry that I interrupted.
No, I
don't. But people like to weigh in with that kind
I
of stuff.
I understand.
So. All right.
I think some limited success. I think everyone wants to get like a surprise win against your rival. That should be enough to sustain you through your first couple of years, you know, being bad, but then beating, like, I think the Texans beat the Cowboys in their very first game. Like, that should be enough to sustain them for.
Was that a regular season game?
I think it was a regular season
game. I remember
the
game.
Week one. and they beat the Dallas Cowboys and then lost pretty much every. We should ask David Carr next time we have him in the door again. He, by the way, he was wonderful.
Oh, what a delight!
What a delightful man.
You got to
certainly.
We should add Carr to this.
Yeah, we should do this. Mix. Would be almost too much for me.
Too much handsome, right?
But that should be enough to sustain a Texans fan for 12 months. What you don't need is a championship.
There are a lot of people out there who are saying this. You're just being a vapid cynic if you don't see what's great about Vegas in its first year going to the final. I guess call me a cynic then. Money, how say you?
Well, I look at it from the other participants in the postseason. You know, the Kings don't need another one. The Ducks don't need another one. The Sharks, I mean, that's the one team you can say that have had a pretty dedicated fan base that have experienced quite a bit of heartbreak. I mean, winning the President's Trophy, getting booted in the first round of all those teams. And I guess the Winnipeg story's kind of good. You know, they get their team back and maybe they win themselves a Stanley Cup. Canada finally gets one, but the heck with America's hat. I don't care about them. So I guess through that prism, I probably, as much as we here in Southern California hate our northern neighbors, specifically the Sharks, much like the folks on the eastern side of Canada, do not like the Canucks at all. I still feel like it'd be nice to maybe give those fans a little nugget before the Vegas folks enjoyed it. Like, it was a damn shame that the Ducks won a cup before the Kings did. Now, granted, the Kings bested them by winning two, but that whole thing was like, eh.
My Preds are eventually going to win one.
Oh, Sully. Sully
you control that
himself.
Mic there,
honestly,
Emma.
Like, who gave him the mic?
Yeah, can we just turn that
Sully
thing off?
Sully dishonors himself.
I was iffy about it, but he really wanted to say it.
What
so.
Else is he doing back? Is he doing anything else?
Yes, I'm working.
He's
back
on
here.
His email.
Yeah, I'm working, posting videos.
I'm just pulling for the Caps. I really want to see the Caps win it.
You left the Caps off your list there. Obviously, they've never hoisted a cup.
No.
They're the only.
Oh, I just meant the Western Conference. Oh, okay. Who would represent the West?
From former Patrick Division teams, they're the only ones that don't have a cup, and they've had a nice run in regular seasons. Yeah. Obviously, don't want to see the Caps win a Stanley Cup. The Lightning, I think that being etched into the word Lightning and Tampa, those words are etched forever into a Stanley Cup. Now next to, and you can't erase it by the rule of the game, you can't scratch it out, even though it now shares space with words like Orr and Lemieux. That Lightning shouldn't be written on that cup. It sullies the whole thing, Sully. But you know what sullies it more than anything else? The Devils. The word Devils on it is also terrible for the cup. But what's done is done. At least the Lightning have already won a cup. That's the best of the three horrible options.
For you, personally.
For me, personally. Yes, the Caps.
Caps winning is much better for all of us. That's what we all want to see.
The Vegas Knights thing is not a good because handsome, right? The fan base. Where do you go from there?
Right.
The interest in that team will plummet. If they win a cup and then a couple of years they begin to languish, people will say, what happened? I thought
we got this.
Yeah. Yeah. It sends a bad message. It feels like a weird, the Marlins, I know that they sold off everything after both their World Series titles, but right? Didn't it feel fraudulent when the Marlins got over? Wait, that team did it and the Red Sox and Cubs still haven't done it? I guess you could make a case that adds to the heart-wrenching legacy of those fan bases that they, I stuck with them. But it really is gross when the Marlins just won the World Series. It undermines the intensity of the postseasons and the year after year. You have to build up to it. Like I say, I am, as a Penguins fan, Marc-Andre Fleury, glad that he personally made it through the river of S and came through clean on the other side. The fan base, though, they didn't climb through anything. They showed up at the arena and they might end it a couple months later hoisting a Stanley Cup.
I will tell you this, and I don't know which organization it was, but having a roommate when I was in college from Vegas, I used to go back. His mom would cook us meals, all that sort of stuff. So got to know the family pretty well. When we were in college, it was the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. They had a minor league hockey team there that was sold out night in, night out. And I can remember his old man, Wayne Schmidtberger, telling me,
wow,
how about that name, huh? I mean, if our minor league hockey team is any indication, this town can support a professional team. And it's just a damn shame that we don't have one. We go to every single game, and as lovely wife, Patty. My friend Damian's mother was there. We do. We go to every single game, Wayne. You're absolutely right. So I think they did have a hockey fan base. That was the one right. professional team they had there. I don't know if it was ECL or whatever. But apparently that was really well attended and supported. So if those fans that supported that team migrated to the Golden Knights, then maybe we got ourselves a good story
maybe,
here.
Maybe. I know that's this has got to thrill one guy, Gary Bettman, who wanted hockey to expand through all of the U.S. of A. I contend that it just isn't. It would be better, even though it's counterintuitive, to allow it to just be more naturally a provincial sport. It'd be good. Seattle should have a team, maybe Portland. You don't need Phoenix and Anaheim, and you don't need two teams in Florida. Okay, you keep the Preds. They've earned it with their Mave, whatever. But you don't need all these teams in the Sun Belt. Nobody cares. But it's just not a legitimate tie-in emotionally.
I'm with you.
I don't think. And even in Anaheim is a perfect example. People argue about that.
That team shouldn't be there.
They fill that building.
That team should not be there.
Yeah, you know who fills that building? The only 20,000 human beings that care about the Anaheim Ducks.
And there's not 20,000.
We live here, and nobody talks about them. No one has ever approached me.
Are they still around?
Yeah, no one's ever approached me and said, hey, what do you think about the Ducks? No one ever does that. That should be telling. Anyhow, MVP, yes, you want to move on from this?
No, this is great.
I'm going to say let's move on.
Yeah, she wants us to move on.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on. What is the NFL equivalent of this? We've never seen, obviously, no franchise team. No new franchise has ever run all the way and won a Super Bowl or anything like that.
The Jags and Panthers, was it year two? They went
year
up
two.
In the air.
Both went conference championship.
I really remember in my gut rooting against
them getting
to a Super Bowl. Would have been wrong.
Yeah, it would have been
second
wrong.
Year, they're playing for the Lombardi? No way.
Who was it? Steve Berline.
And Mark Brunell.
And Mark Brunell.
Nice. Very good Steve Berline call there, handsome.
No worries. No problem.
Now let's take a break from the sports talk and talk about another competition going on. I think it's completed. Now, is it over, the American Idol, or is it coming up? I don't know.
I think so.
Anyway, Kent Brown's mom, Kent Brown.
Here we go. Highlight of the show.
One of our producers, but also from Pittsburgh, PA. And I always thought that guy has the quintessential Pittsburgh accent, but it turns out his mom may be even a better one. From Wilmerding, PA, here she is, Kent Brown's mom, talking about American Idol.
Hey, it's a commercial, but I was so compelled to call you. That Gabby, she's fantastic. She was singing Don't Stop, you know, from Journey. And oh, my God, guess who was in the audience? Steve Perry was there. Oh, my God. And he said he came down and talked with her, and he said that was one of the best performances of that song I ever heard. But anyway, what an honor for him to be there. I just hope she wins it all. Yeah, they showed her going back to Munhall and everything. They're showing them all, the last three, going back to their hometown. But, yeah, okay, but good night.
Oh, it's so good.
Munhall's is in Pittsburgh.
It is so good.
I love that she asked the hypothetical question this time into the voicemail, but left room for you to answer.
Answer. That's it. It was the pause.
Did you say who was into Crod? Steve Perry.
It's so good.
Don't stop.
And I do love I love her opens. Her opens are always the same. Hey, hey, like, is he there? Am I in the voicemail? What's going? They always start, hey, hello. Oh, yeah. So, here I am.
I want to know if Mrs. Brown watched the royal wedding.
We were hoping, but we really do not cook these at all. Kent Brown's mom leaves him messages, and then he sends them over to us. And I said, can't you just don't answer the phone, man? Just
write the voicemail.
Yeah, stop it.
Why do you keep sending me the voicemail?
Why don't you speak to me anymore, Kent?
Don't you know you've achieved a very low level of fame leaving voice messages? All right.
That was good.
That was a good one. I like that quite a bit. I didn't know we had someone from Pittsburgh in there. Dude, she from Munhall. Dude, I hope she wins then. Steve Perry said it was great. Great performance on that.
And what an honor for him to be there.
What an honor.
I don't know if it's really an honor for Steve to be there.
No, I think it was an honor for her to perform in front of.
Right.
Even that, I'm not sure was such an honor.
Next on this list is Dalvin Cook is ahead of schedule in rehab. Is he likely to have the most impressive comeback next season? I did just see our pal Daniel Jeremiah, aka Move the Sticks, list the Vikings as perhaps the most complete roster in the NFC, and he said the Jags perhaps on the AFC side. Of course, the flaw for the Jags, I think, will rear its ugly head. Its ugly head is named Blake Bortles at some point. I, you know, the idea that you can just endlessly cover up your quarterback in pro football seems specious. Now, speaking of that, Kirk Cousins, just because he has shown signs and he did have that nice playoff run and everything else, I'm not convinced that he's ready to be the main man, because with $30 million comes outsized pressure on you as well. However, Dalvin Cook's return feels like a redshirt. You know, he explodes, and then by the end of the season, it's all Alvin Kamara and anybody else, but you're not you forgot even about Dalvin Cook because of their playoff run. But, man, you inject him back into that offense with a better, more live arm than Case Keenum? How say you, Money?
Well, I think, you know, attributing it to the aforementioned Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, they had discussed, you know, the one thing that people are overlooking is, you know, Pat Shurmur was given a lot of credit for that offense and taking Case Keenum and being one of the best play callers, and he's not there, you know, and Flip from Philadelphia comes over.
Effect. Look out, Falcons
fans.
Yeah,
so that's the one concern. I mean, as much as John DeFilippo's, you know, respected, he's never called plays before. So, you know, that's, I think, probably beyond Kirk Cousins, the health of Dalvin Cook's knee, I mean, they certainly have a heck of a cast. I mean, with Rudolph and Diggs and Thielen, I mean, it's impressive to see the weapons around Cousins, and that's what we've always said, right? You just put that guy in a system where he's got weapons to deal with, and he's a great quarterback. So I think it's more on Flip and than the health of Dalvin Cook, or how does Kirk Cousins fit in a pretty nasty conference, no less.
I'm trying to think, even if he had the benefit of 46 Alfred Morris running behind him, he didn't really. By the time he took over, no. Alfred Morris is gone there.
Yeah.
But he did one thing that the Skins have had with Kirk Cousins is they've had some nice pass catchers for him to choose from. So I don't think it's that big an upgrade.
And no running backs, by the way. Like
well,
you said.
Well, that's the difference. Yeah. Okay, so Dalvin Cook is an upgrade, but for the most, I don't think. Yeah, and I know Thielen and Diggs are better, but still, Kirk Cousins wasn't throwing to a bunch of mediocre guys in D.C. either.
But not great guys. You know what
I
mean?
But your point about the OC thing, just because Hugh Jackson, I don't think he's the fit long-term in Cleveland. I think he's already shown he's not the long-term fit with one game in two seasons. But that's right. Hugh Jackson, you watch that Bengals offense slide considerably once he moved on as well. People do ignore that a little bit too much.
Don't you get the impression, though, with the Vikings that I can't picture them as – I mean, they're always the bridesmaid. They're always like have this roster and, you know, it feels like they're ready to go and they just come up short. And I don't know what it'll be this year, but I just feel like something's going to let them down. Or maybe this is the chance for them to get over the top.
I mean, like I said a half an hour ago, it feels to me like it's hard to pinpoint. And in fact, that's one of our favorite exercises in when do we do that? Like July or June somewhere? We tell you the teams that are absolutely positively not going to the playoffs, because it's easier to make a case for why a team's going to be good than it is to ID who's definitely going to be crummy. That division seems nasty. I think the Packers are going to win it because Aaron Rodgers coming back. Really? Now all of a I don't know. I like both of their young runners now. I'm not even counting Ty Montgomery. I'm not talking about him. Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones are both good young runners. They finally give Rodgers
draft two
pass catchers.
Yep. Draft two corners. Their first two picks.
Well, three of their picks in the last 2 years have been devoted to adding those corners. I like them quite a bit, and yeah, Jimmy Graham, Sully throws into my ear there as well. So yes, I think they'll win the division, but I'm not convinced they will, because the Lions could be really good, and I think the Vikings could be again taking a shot at the division, and I think the Bears have a chance to be halfway decent.
Yeah, if I were handicapping it, I would go Vikings 1. Yeah. That defense is so good at all three levels. I mean, so good. And it's hard to pick. I hate picking against Aaron Rodgers. It's just stupid. It seems to me to always pick, you know, to ever pick against him. But I think there's enough flaws on that Packer roster that – that you can feel pretty good about the Vikings. The one big question, like I said, is play calling, you know, and in a very tough NFC with a first place schedule, like you said, against, you know, the Lions twice, the Packers twice. And, you know, for as slow as that offense is to come around, the defense for the Bears has been pretty darn good, you know, and Vic Fangio stayed, you know, that was a big coup for them to be able to get him to stay on with Matt Nagy, you know, coming on as head coach and John Fox leaving. So there should be some constant there, especially you add, you know, Roquan Smith to the mix, to Floyd from last year. I mean, that's a pretty damn good defense. So I'm with you. It's going to be a pretty nasty division, but I still think it's the Vikings.
If Allen Robinson bounces back and Trubisky does in fact soar, and don't sleep on the other side of it, though, the defense, you talk about what goes on in Chicago and the stability there with Fangio. What about the other side of the coin of losing an OC? What about maybe it was time for Dom Capers to move on three or four years ago? Perhaps that defense will soar. I'll tell you, again, I keep referring to it. The team in green from Philadelphia, you copycat them, Green Bay, that's basically clear what they did. You know what we need to do? We need to load up on this defensive front. That's exactly what they did. They could be dominant. People are not talking about
Mike Daniels is great. I mean, to have that as your anchor on that defensive line.
Kenny Clark, and now you throw Sheldon Richardson into that mix? Yikes. That should be a truly dominant defensive front now for them. All right. Next up, what else do we have to – what's the non-football equivalent? Do we care about OTAs or no? Or do you want to wrap it up, MVP?
I have an answer to this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Money's going to leave, though. Money's got to go to his fancy
radio show. The non-football
equivalent
of skipping voluntary OTAs would seem to me be like if the host of a podcast didn't look at the rundown before before they came on the show.
Nobody would do that. That would never happen.
I mean, but if someone was trying to find
real life example.
I have an answer to that that's probably going to shed some light on what kind of husband I am. I do feel as though the answer to this is, as someone who's been married for nearly 20 years, there are those moments when you're asked to do things or show up at events and you say to yourself, is she really going to divorce me if I don't do this? Because we all have those. I mean, if we're all being
honest.
What's
the most recent one of those?
She didn't want me to go golfing the other morning. She needed some help, like getting the kids to school and stuff. And, you know, we had someone coming out that hadn't played with us in a while. And I was like, no, I'm going golfing. She's like, yeah, but I need you to help me out with the kids. And I'm like, no, I'm actually going to go golfing. I haven't played with this guy in a while, and it's the first time he's come out in like 6 months. So I'm going golfing.
6 months. Your rationalization hinged on.
Well, but she was not happy.
I understand my beloved and the products of our love need one thing, but
this guy hasn't played.
We got a fourth. We haven't played with him in a couple months.
In a while, and it's always fun when he comes out. The stakes are raised, and you know people sweat a little bit.
This guy says the funniest things out of the green. Like, you know.
And guess what? She's not divorced.
I got stuck in the sand trap on 16 a couple years ago, and it took me a couple to get out. But it was painless because he was so funny about it. He roasted me while in there. I mean, you got to know Sean, man. He is.
Would you like to know who it was?
Oh, it's I know who it was. I know exactly who it was.
You know exactly who it is.
You know I'm a listener of Petros and Money. It was Eric Carroll.
It was Eric Carroll.
I knew it!
Yeah, the all-time leader in Dodger home run history. Eric Carroll had not played with us in like 6 months, and he's like, all right, I'm in.
Eric Carroll is the that's a great list. That would now I'm glad Money brought that up. This is a great list. The title holders, the weirdest names to hold significant records and such in sport. It's weird that the New England Patriots almost just equaled the Pittsburgh Steelers and Lombardis. That would not sound right if that were the case. You know? How about the fact that he's not anymore, but Timmy Smith, he's been usurped now, right? Or is he still the all-time?
He's still the all-time rusher in Super Bowl.
Is that true? Mm-hmm. I thought somebody beat him out within the last few years. No?
My favorite one is because I've sat in it for so many years at the Combine, the Indianapolis Colts Ring of Honor.
That is a fun one.
That is unbelievable to look at. Yes.
Bill Brooks is a wide receiver like I have a vague memory of.
Number 80 in the early days of Indy.
Chris Hinton. who was part of that
traded for Elway. Right.
Jim Harbaugh, who played there for three years.
Jim Harbaugh is
in there.
Ted Marchibroda in there, too?
Ted Marchibroda. Skipped over that one.
They went to the playoffs with him.
Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson.
Who was miserable.
Who hated it.
Was supposed to be traded to the Redskins, and when he went to the front office and said, hey, make this happen, they were like, oh, we'll make it happen. And they sent him to Indianapolis.
And Marshall Faulk, who had some fantastic years, not in Indianapolis.
Wow, that is low.
I mean, there's others.
But Eric Karros is the all. Are you talking? But
Los Angeles Dodgers.
I don't think you said L.A.
No, I did. I said the all-time L.A. Dodgers.
L.A. Dodgers.
The all-time L.A. Dodgers home run leader.
And so it would be. It would be the old center fielder Duke Snider, right? Or no?
Don't know who it is. I don't know who it is that has the overall.
Sully. Can you look that one up? Before we wrap it up, just because you guys
Sully
didn't get
wasn't
to,
listening. What are the chances that Sully will be listening
he's
to
staring
the show
at
unless
a
he's talking?
He's staring at
I was looking up,
pictures
I was looking
of
up
Daniel Jeremiah right now.
No, I was looking up.
He's so handsome.
He is a handsome devil.
He's
smart.
Guy.
He's so smart. He knows ball. But
he does
also,
know ball.
He's handsome.
Yeah.
Also, Sully, did you
guys
I was
guys looking hear? Up records, though. I was trying to find some weird records for you guys.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely want to do work. That. Let's do that. That's a good subject there for future reference. Money and handsome. I don't think either
well done. 389 to Gil Hodges, 361.
Huh.
Duke Snider.
It's weird. Shouldn't they have more? I'll tell you. You look up in baseball, you look up some of the wins leaders on in certain franchises. You're like, that's the guy? I'll tell you the other one. Tiki Barber is now, I'm pretty sure, is the all-time leading rusher in New York Giants history. Mm-hmm. If you think that's underwhelming, it was Lorenzo Hampton for a while. It's Lorenzo crazy. Hampton?
No, not Lorenzo Hampton. Rodney Hampton.
Oh,
Rodney
right. I'm sorry. Rodney. Well, I'm sorry. That's much better.
No, I mean, not much
he was
better.
Good and everything, yeah. But still. One more thing before you guys run, because I wanted you to wanted to get your perspective on this. Who did we ask it to? We asked Will Blackman and Michael Fabiano about this, who's Fabiano, also a renowned, infamous front runner himself. Sully, you know, here's his backstory for anybody who doesn't know. From San Antonio, Texas, goes to the University of Tennessee. It makes sense, therefore, that he's a San Antonio Spurs and a Vols football and basketball fan. Things start getting sideways, though. What's your favorite football team? The Seahawks. What's your favorite hockey team? The Devils.
Now, we did this with Sully 2 weeks ago. You and I did. So you got to get Hank's, Hank's position. I was in for this.
Okay. See, now we're rehashing everything. See, that's the sort of thing a good host rundowns would remember. Where do you come down, handsome, on this from Sully?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I've gone over my limit.
Just,
of,
I want
of
you to weigh in.
To say
is it wrong
today?
That Sully? Is it wrong that Sully, after the Devils have been eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs, then tweets out, "Let's go Preds." Let's go Preds.
Wait, he did that.
Yes,
that's why I said my Preds earlier, just to jab it. Check.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You, tweet, you got like me said, with that jab.
The tweets what
Zing.
Does it?
Not jab, but
right.
Yeah, no, I think if your team drops out of the playoffs, I think you could cheer for another team.
Like I'm going to reserve judgment because I don't want to get the silent treatment from Sully when he gets a little red faced and kind of.
We have to have a competition someday to see who has the shorter fuse. Both of them deny that they have
they
one.
They have one, which is
but
the secret
who?
Of people.
Who? Sully and who?
Sully
Eddie.
And Spaghetti.
Oh.
They both claim that I'm laid back guy.
Laid back, yeah.
How about Fabiano? Get him in there. Oh, no, talk about not. A short fuse. Fabs has a short fuse, man.
Short fuse.
Get him in there.
Until the Vols start losing, and then it'll come out real quick.
Get in there, man. Let's get them all together.
We have a lot of work.
Yeah, let's short fuse off.
Meantime, was this a good solid one, handsome?
Yeah, I think it was good. I think we had a nice time.
Yeah. How about you, Money?
Wow. Steve Perry's honored. Here,
okay.
What's the name of the town? What's the name? Real quick. What's the name of the town?
Munhall. Yeah. She's from Wilmerding, though. Go. If you're ever in Wilmerding or thereabouts, make sure you visit Gianni's. They have the best pork chops in all the land. Emma VP.
This one was gangbusters.
You thought
gangbusters.
It was all right. You thought this one worked out.
Yep.
Emma VP doesn't pull punches, which I appreciate.
No, I like
that. It's sarcasm.
It's also sarcasm. She wanted to use one of your words against
She him. Denounced the most recent one with Will Blackman. She was not entertained at all.
On
and
air.
Let it be known.
Yep.
On air.
Okay. Did you tell Will Blackman that?
Yes.
He was there.
Yes.
I told him he was handsome earlier, though, so that's okay. That makes
balance
up for
it out.
Right? Yeah.
She and Sully were in lockstep. I mean, Spaghetti were in lockstep. Oh, that was.
Listen, Will, you're a beautiful man, but you're an empty vessel. That head of yours has got a whole lot of nothing going on in it.
Well, guess what?
Will was great.
It was Dave's. It was Dave's.
I'm Mike Fabiano.
It wasn't Fabiano.
Ah, that's what it
she
was.
Thought that's what it was. Emma doesn't like Michael Fabiano.
No. That's exactly what it was.
No. She thought I lingered on Will Blackman.
Hey, wait till you get that short fuse now of Fabs when he hears this. It's coming for you, Emma.
Oh, I can't wait to figure out what the scenarios are that we try to heat up Sully, Spaghetti, and Fabiano.
Well, Fabiano, we've got the he doesn't respect you. We just need to get him and Matt Harmon arguing.
Summertime is when we do all these.
He doesn't respect you.
There it is.
Short Fuse sounds like a great NBC summertime reality / game show. They had
an MTV series called Boiling Point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this was
what it was about, was how mad you could make people?
Yeah, like going into restaurants and like seeing how angry they would get when they would screw up your order.
Suddenly I feel like this is why I was put on Earth.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I can incite people quickly if I have to. All right, listen. Matt Money Smith, great as always. Handsome Hank, you too. Sully, Emma VP, we'll kibitz with you later in the week, or no. Well, you'll hear DeMarcus Lawrence and my sit down over steaks. Talk about one of my greatest achievements. That was it. You'll hear about that and a whole lot more. Make sure you check that one out. Subscribe to DDFP, Adam Carolla Show, Good Sports, all that kind of stuff. Until then, been a thin slice of hell.